Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Paid
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. You can watch on YouTube or on Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table, just in time.
What flat tire?
Rashawn Taylor.
What do you mean?
And then across the glass from me, Jordan Schultz. We are lacking inflated tires. We are lacking headphones in this place.
Yeah, happy holidays, folks.
My God. Jeez,
man.
Pull it together, fellas.
Man, yeah.
No kidding.
And I got stuck behind, on the way here. I got stuck behind an ambulance that was going incredibly slow because there was nobody inside of it. So, yeah.
Clearly, no urgent matters at hand.
Yeah, I guess.
The lights and everything were on, and so but they yeah, were they going were,
and
slow.
Mind you, this was all kind of on the back street on the Upshore Avenue, and just yeah, and
maybe someone
super slow.
Maybe someone wasn't, and they're like, "Well, listen, this guy's a goner. Don't waste too much gas here.
No point in being." You know, trying to get him there immediately, so it's all good.
So flat tire this morning, huh?
Awesome. Honestly, I don't know if it's a slow leak or whatever, but, I'm just going out of town tomorrow.
Just a little deflated?
Yeah, going out of town tomorrow, so I should probably get that fixed, immediately, yeah.
Yeah, not a strong weekend for fan personalities in their cars. I don't know if you jumped on the old Twitter, the X, but one Jason Sukanik. Got a nice hefty bag window, as he describes it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Somebody tried to get into it, eh?
Yep, so.
That's the worst, man. You jerks that are trying to break into people's car. Who does that still?
Well, now, a lot of people. Losers. Honestly, I think it's 16th over here, or 17th, right by our office.
Oh, is he parked on the street?
His car... Well, he wasn't driving. I found out about it because his girlfriend, my girlfriend, they hang out, they're friends, and she was over at my girlfriend's house, was it Friday night until 1:30 or something like that, and she ended up sleeping over for a couple hours so that way she could, get some Z's in her, sober up a little bit, bit before driving home. So I think she woke up at 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that to then drive home, and yeah, she went out there, and this is over by my girlfriend's house, over off of near Division and 29th.
Oh yeah, anything on Division is getting broken into.
Well, she wasn't on Division.
Yeah,
it was
real sorry.
It was Clinton. right, you know, 29th.
Division adjacent? Yeah.
Yeah, but woke up on a Saturday morning, and my girlfriend had told me, she's like, oh, yeah, the BTJ, her, the window got smashed in and broken into. They took her, like, gym bag or something like that.
Take something significant. Like, I remember one time somebody broke into my car, and this is when I didn't have a CD player, like, installed into the car. So you remember when you can put, like, a tape deck in, and you could play, like, or maybe you guys weren't broke enough for that.
Of having cassette player in the car.
Well, it's a cassette
car.
Player that actually it's attached to the CD player.
It hooks up to your phone.
To where, yeah, you can now it hooks up to your phone and everything like that.
We've
that
all been there.
Oh, we use that, and that was always way better than the one where you had to tune into a certain radio signal
that
to plug in.
Because if the radio station sucked, then, you know, if there was no signal there.
So
then
much
was,
static.
But somebody broke in, and it was literally, it was the day, like 2 days before Christmas. I had just went shopping. I had a ton of gifts in the trunk and everything, like hours before. Something told me I was going to get my haircut at my man's house. I was like, bro, you should probably take these out of the trunk just because who knows what might happen. And sure enough, as I came outside, the only thing they took, and it really irritated me, was that CD player, which had the game's first CD, the documentary inside of it, and my baby oil, which kind of begged the question, like, why
do you have baby oil in the car?
Because black people get ashy.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
Like, I don't know.
Do you guys get ashy? No, you guys don't. I was having a conversation with my
coworker. Thought maybe you had some Aveeno or something in there instead.
No, no, no. Just
some Lubriderm.
No, just regular old Johnson & Johnson pink bottle cap baby oil.
Baby oil's had a rough couple months. I don't know if you've heard.
Baby oil's got a bad rap. Yeah. Thanks, Diddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for that, man.
He is.
I love baby oil. Smells so good.
He is synonymous with baby oil for the next few years.
And what a weird, like, I can understand it, like, oh, we found 1,000 bottles of lube, or we found a bunch of
KY jelly.
Yeah, like,
ew,
we
that
found
doesn't even work.
1,000 bottles of baby oil. Like, why?
That's, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I mean, listen, nobody's that ashy.
Seems like your community is more locked in on the benefits of baby oil.
Nobody's that ashy. Nobody. It's just one of those things, man. I don't care how bad your
ashy
skin is.
Ashy Larry.
Yeah.
Mossy Project,
ashy
son.
Larry
Mossy what?
Ashy Larry ain't that ashy, son. No, I can be honest. So I'm still kind of, that's the one thing in all this Diddy stuff. It's like, why the baby oil? Like, what were we? We're oiling up every couple minutes then.
Why the baby oil?
Why the baby oil? I can't wait to hear him answer that in court.
Anyways, the homeless person, they took your baby oil and your...
I don't even know if they're homeless.
Your cassette aux cord thing?
Just a couple days before Christmas. My son and I and the wife went to a Blazer game. This is a few years ago. Came back to the car after getting on the Max. Getting my son in the car. He's like, Dad, he's young. He's like 4 or 5. He's like, Dad, your window. Look, and whole back window is just smashed in and... They took my work bag, which had my computer in it, which was my fault for keeping it in there. But
yeah,
one of those things, man. People, get your own stuff, bro. For real. Get a job.
Yeah, there's this stretch of road right next to our office building. I want to say that it's 17th. I could be getting the road wrong.
I think that's right.
Maybe Thurman. I don't know. But literally, I think there's 4 different piles of glass alongside the curb. Like, just separate parts. There's a Mini Cooper that's had its window smashed in and has been just sitting there for like 2.5 weeks
now. Nobody wants that Mini Cooper anymore. It's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, you can see it. I got the picture right there. Suk posted it up on the tweets. But yeah, a nice little Christmas gift for him.
Yeah, Suk seems like he's got some nice stuff in his car too.
Well, again, the only
probably
thing that they
golf
took
clubs, some wrestling gear, like.
Yeah,
shoulder
apparently
pads.
There was a really nice dress in there that was my girlfriend's, that they didn't take the dress. They just took like the gym bag, which had some clothes in it, left the sunglasses. I think they're the Gucci sunglasses that were in there.
See, so you can tell it wasn't somebody who needed money. It was just, this was just something fun. Oh, there's a bag. I'm taking it. Like, cause you see the dress, you see the glasses, Gucci glasses. Yeah. Those are getting taken. Real talk. So it was some kid. Probably.
Yeah, I was definitely nervous. It sucks. Every morning that I wake up and or every day that I get out of work, because I've had my window broken in this parking lot.
Yeah, I remember that. It was like last year, right?
Yes, it was last year. Yeah. That story to me still is
at
just
work.
Annoying. So we left. It was after the show. I went and parked my car, went and got something to eat, and then I parked it in the parking lot because me and my buddy were going up to Elk Ridge Golf Course. And I told him, I was like, He's like, I don't really want to leave my car here. He's like, do you mind if we just drive together or drive separately? And I was like, yeah, I'll leave my car here. We'll ride in your car. He's got a nice newer Ford Ranger, like a 22.
Bro, you're driving.
A 22 or something like that.
Bro, you're driving. Why are we driving?
I literally said to him, I don't know if I texted this to him or said to him on the phone. I said, we can take your car. If anybody, I was like talking about like each car, I was like, we don't want your Ranger's window to get smashed out. If anybody's car, it should be mine. And then sure enough, yeah, spoke it into existence. What ended up happening too is we left, we get across the Fremont Bridge, and I realized, I don't have my fan VIP golf cards to get us that disky.
Yeah, need that.
And so we turned back around.
Membership has its privileges.
We turned back around, and luckily the person that broke into my car did not take the fan VIP golf cards. But,
see, they missed the best stuff.
I know.
Well, exactly. When you're going really fast, just trying to take stuff, I don't know if you've got time to be reading through. Like, wait, is this? Man, yeah, we're going to take that, too.
And smash and grab.
Smash and grab. Take whatever you can get real, real fast. So,
and then,
get your own stuff. Get a job, fellas. Come on. Ladies.
We rolled up. Like, as we were driving down the street, I could see someone. Like, we were, like, maybe four blocks away, but it was far enough where I could kind of still see our parking lot. And I saw someone kind of like moseying by my car and then rode off in his bicycle. And then we pull up and sure enough, the window was smashed in, took my toiletry bag and took my Adidas jacket, my favorite Adidas jacket. And then we rolled up on him because I knew he was still down the street. I was like, I think this dude went this way over by the dockside.
What you do?
We drove and
politely passed and waved.
No, we cut him off. And then the people on the bikes, they're shifty. They can change direction very quickly. When you're in a truck in the roadways, you know, you have to find the right place to back up. And so he was able to change directions on us. Then he went and scooted down the train tracks. And I got my my jacket back, but the toiletry bag,
sorry
long
about
gone.
The bag.
Long gone.
I mean, you didn't need that Old Spice deodorant anyway. Like, you can
It had my Sonicare in it.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
My toothbrush, my Philips.
Gotcha.
That was a quality toothbrush.
Yeah.
I was upset about that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Had my hair paste, my... That's okay.
But you still got the golf cart, so that's there. You still got your VIP. So there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, like, still got the golf cart. We still enjoyed a round of golf up at Elk Ridge, but that was not... that was one of the least enjoyable rounds of golf. Not from the golfing aspect, just knowing that I had to go home and deal with that afterwards. It was one of those, I'm like, can we just stay here and just golf for the next, like, week? Just not go back home, and so I don't have to deal with this, please?
Yeah, if I've had to deal with my car being broken into, it's quite a few times. Usually, they just take something that smells good. Cologne, lotion.
Baby
like
oil.
That. Yeah, the baby oil, something like that. But, you know, the one time they got my computer sucked. One time, I actually got my car stolen. I thought it was.
Damn.
I thought it just got towed by, you know, I live in an apartment complex. So I was like, there is always a parking space that's not supposed to be parked in. But I parked there every day for like 4 years. Nothing happened. One day come outside. And it's like, huh, guess they finally got me, huh? And so I call the, you know, call the tow truck company. It's like, yeah, we don't have that.
Oh, boy.
And I call the police and they're like, yeah, they let us know when we get, you know, when there's something towed. They let us know the license plate number. Yeah, we don't have that. That's not anywhere here. It's like, so you might want to fill out a police report because it looks like your car was stolen. It's like, oh, never got that car back either. It was just Rap City.
That sucks.
It did. Right that, before work, too. There's nothing worse than coming out like today before work and figuring out something's wrong.
Yeah.
Ugh, no.
Yeah, again, I have that like dread every time walking out of my girlfriend's house to go because I got to park usually on the street somewhere, whether it's on Division, whether it's on 28th, 29th, 30th, Clinton, somewhere around there. And I'm just like, please, just don't let this be the day. Just this for the
is,
love
yeah,
of God.
This is the one.
Or even just walking back out to the parking lot from work, you know, just hoping. This is why I kind of like the rain, because nobody's really out and about.
No, summertime is a beast, though, because everybody's out. You can be out super late or super early, depending on what time of year it is.
Want to get into some football?
There's a lot of it.
There is. There definitely is. Do want to give you an update, though, a golf update. Charlie Woods just got an ace at the PNC Championship. How about that? That doesn't do it for you?
Not at all. Not right now.
You know, me and my buddies, we're...
I don't know if I'm ready for another 30 years of
Woods. Tiger coverage?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Oh, get ready, buddy.
Yeah.
I was talking to my buddies last night. We were out we were at a place in over by the Moda Center watching the Ohio State Tennessee game, in which I brought my backpack inside with me.
Very good, very smart,
because of this very conversation we were having. But we were talking about golf, and we were like, "Man, waste management open. The Phoenix Open is in like 2 months. The wasted management
right around the corner, man.
We're gonna be getting the West Coast swing of golf tournaments here in the next couple months. It got me a little excited.
It feels like this year has just come and gone so fast to where we're already gearing up for golf here in a couple of weeks. We're what, 2 weeks, a week away from the football season being completely wrapped up. You know, as far as the regular season stuff, like we're in the thick of it for the playoffs. We're about to be, they're about to start voting on all-star stuff for the NBA here in a little bit. Like, things are really, I know, right? I'm just saying, like, things are
moving NBA?
That fast. It's this thing where, you know, a bunch of just, you know, kind of overpaid, overhyped. Like, I'm really mad about the NBA. The NBA sucks right now. It's my favorite sport, and I hate it.
It's down bad right now.
It's not fun to watch.
You guys getting millions not to play. I sound like old curmudgeon-y, like,
no,
dude.
You're absolutely right. That's a whole better, different. I can go on a whole. We can go on a whole segment about that and what they need to do. But
well, luckily, the show is called Football Sunday.
Here we go.
We will be talking about football. We have our matchup for the Oregon Ducks. We know who they will be playing in the Rose Bowl. We got to talk about just the bitching and moaning of college football in general and how we just can't ever have nice things with audio attached to that. We got Who Do You Love? In the second hour, we'll talk about some of the rest of the playoff matchups that we saw in the first round and what is to come. Also got some NFL stuff, hopefully that we can get to that. An article that made me feel a little bit better about the Dallas Cowboys ownership. And we will get to that. And also, if we have time, the Thursday night football matchup between the Oregon quarterbacks. And I wanted to have a little bit of a Justin Herbert conversation if we have the time as well. But let's get into it. We get a classic Rose Bowl matchup on January 1st. The Oregon Ducks will be taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes in the quarterfinals of the playoffs down in Pasadena at Autzen South, I like to call it, the Rose Bowl.
I love it.
Yeah.
Should be a nice little,
nice
little turnout.
Need to start planting the flag down at the Rose Bowl.
Ohio State won't like that.
At the Rose Bowl and start
calling when you plant flags.
Start calling it Autzen South. Let's get into it. Oregon versus Ohio State coming up in about a week and a half. Rose Bowl. We do that next here. 1080 The Fan, Football Sunday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free. Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Day, hope you all are enjoying your hopefully extended weekend. I hope some people are just rolling right into Monday with no work, and then you got Tuesday, Wednesday, Christmas Eve, Christmas.
I'm already over it, bro.
Yeah, tomorrow's gonna, you know, I have things to do work-wise, but it definitely is gonna suck. Like, I am definitely already gonna be in Christmas mode.
Yeah, I don't know. I just... Bring on the new year.
Merry Christmas and happy holiday.
All right, NSYNC. All right, Timberlake. Nancy.
Was that even a Christmas song beforehand, or did they just
that's a new one. That was an original. That was an original.
Or a Lou Pearlman original. I don't know if he wrote it. Yeah. Go watch that Lou Pearlman documentary. NSYNC and Backstreet got scammed.
Yeah, they really, really did. Just think of how much money they could have actually made if somebody wasn't taking, like,
well, they're doing all fine of it now.
Yeah, no, they're fine now, but dang. Like, at that point, if you thought somebody was big and they weren't getting paid, imagine if they were actually getting paid, what they'd be able to do. So, that's that.
Well, someone who's doing fine right now is Ryan Day.
For this week.
The Ohio Barely. State Buckeyes, their team, the fan base, after they just absolutely trounced Tennessee in the first round of the playoffs, and we now have the rematch, the Oregon Ducks versus Ohio State in the Rose Bowl down in Pasadena, which I like to start calling Aughts and South. Again, start making that a thing. Let people know that when you come to the West Coast, you're coming into Oregon territory, whether it is in Eugene, whether it is in Los Angeles, Oregon owns the West Coast. But I will say, getting a classic Big Ten, Pac-12 matchup in the Rose Bowl, Ohio State, Oregon. I can't wait. I can wait because I am now just nervous as all hell. Immediately, you know, even just watching the Tennessee Ohio State game, Oregon wasn't even playing, and I was still nervous. Again, it is, as the weeks go by, the closer you get to this moment, the nerves just kick up more and more.
Well, you know, I had no problem with Tennessee losing.
Oh, I'm sure you were just thrilled.
When they scored that touchdown and I heard them singing Rocky Top, I got so furious. And then I start like really rooting on Ohio State, man, y'all better win this effing game, bro. Keep going. Put it on them. And they did that. And they needed it. Ryan Day and Ohio State needed that win. I'm not going to say more than Tennessee, but if they had lost that game after losing to Michigan in their last game, it would have been Ryan Day would have been fired before he got to the locker room. I truly believe he. And if they lose to Oregon again, I can almost guarantee that he will no longer be the coach at Ohio State.
Oof.
I mean, you can't lose to Michigan 4 years in a row. You can't lose to Oregon twice in the year. That's going to get you fired.
And that would be a third straight loss to Oregon as well.
That would be the third time they would have lost to Oregon. That's not going to fly.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
It's only reason I will is because it's Ohio State. If it were any other school in any other rivalry, I'd be like, okay. But Michigan-Ohio State is probably the most well-known rivalry in college football.
I think the way that they beat Tennessee definitely gives
it helps.
It gives him a little bit more of a forgiveness factor with that Michigan game. And I think also just depending on how this game goes against Oregon, that, you know, if they get just absolutely worked, if it's a Rose Bowl like Oregon, Florida State, where Oregon's winning 59-20, whatever it is, then yeah. Yeah, then you, what you're saying very well might be true.
I honestly, for real, I don't know if that matters. Like, I don't think you can lose another winnable close game to Oregon. Or if you get blown out, that's just as bad, you know, so or worse. Actually, getting blown out isn't as bad, because when you get blown out, like, what could we have done? Like, nothing was working. Everywhere across the field, something was lacking or behind. Like, sometimes there's nothing you can do about blowouts, but a close game, a missed pass or a fumble or those holding penalties or something like that come back to bite you in the end, that missed field goal. Like, those, it's the little things during those close games that end up doing it for you. During the blowouts, like, bro, they were just better than us everywhere on the field. But in those close ones, that's where it's like, well, it comes down to coaching, right? It comes down to X's and O's. It comes down to strategy. And if Ryan Day doesn't win this game, I honestly think that after four straight losses to Michigan and a loss to Oregon and another loss to Oregon in the calendar year, I don't know if he comes back as the head coach.
Well,
and didn't get a first round bye. Like, there's a lot of didn't win the Big Ten championship, didn't compete in the Big Ten championship. Like, so a lot of things going against Ryan Day if he doesn't win this game.
The standard is different up there.
It's very different.
But he will be the coach at least for one more game. Give Will Howard and this offense credit, because absolutely, they were just lighting up Tennessee. Just
was great.
Going deep. I'm hoping that it was one of those, like on the golf course at the driving range, when you're hitting all your best balls and then you play an absolutely terrible round. Hopefully that's the case. Whereas, like, they played their best game, they had their best effort against Tennessee, and now they left it all out there for them. And once they go up against Oregon, that they played too well. They have no more points left to give, because if that's what we're going to see from Ohio State versus Oregon, whoa, buddy, get ready, because it is going to be an absolute dogfight. It's going to be very similar to the first game. I mean, they were able to pass the ball. I want to say that, their running back, was it Travion Henderson, ran for like 132 yards on 14 carries. They were able to do everything. Almost had 500 yards of total offense. They held Tennessee, I think, to either less than 200 yards or just above 200 yards of offense. Yeah. I think with maybe that last drive, that touchdown to make it 42-17 by Tennessee, that put them up over 200 yards. But again, it was just an all-around dominating performance, and you're going to get Ohio State's obviously their best effort to get the win in the rematch. I'm just nervous. I am just so nervous as an Oregon fan, just after seeing a performance like that, seeing a team rolling like that. I think that hopefully it was more of an emotional, we need to make up for what happened in this stadium the last time we were here against Michigan, and there was a little bit of that emotional factor that we need to win this in front of our fans. Tennessee, they showed up. They also were talking a lot ahead of that game about planting the flag and carrying the field goal post out to the Ohio River or whatever near the stadium. Like, they were running their mouths before that game. And I think Ohio State was, they were itching to have a performance like that at home the final time in front of their fans. Now you got to go to Pasadena. You got to go to the Rose Bowl. Yes, your fans will travel, but that will be a split crowd, and it's not going to be home cooking like it was.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think it'll really be like a split? If it's split, it's 70-30, because I think Oregon fans this year are going to travel. Ohio State coming from, you know, Ohio State coming from that deep.
Like, hey, Ohio State traveled well to Autzen. I mean, it was like a 70-30.
Yeah, I forget about that. Yeah, it was a pretty...
It was a 70-30, 75-25 split at Autzen. I mean, there was a lot of red in that stadium.
And that's what I kind of expect at the Rose Bowl, is a kind of right around a 60-40 kind of split, maybe 70.
The ticket prices, too, were not very accessible, I guess you could say, very quickly for Duck fans. Like, the rich donors got the lot, and I think they started to resell them pretty quickly. So I kind of wonder, you know, like... how much Oregon fan had to dole out if maybe they have focused on the national championship instead, or like now that Ohio State knows, like they're kind of ravenous, like they're going to pay whatever. So I wonder, you know, how that crowd is going to be divided.
I'm just excited to be back at the Rose Bowl, though. Also, the Ducks and the Rose Bowl. I mean, the last one was 2020, I want to say.
Yes, that is correct. Mario Cristobal.
Against Wisconsin?
Yeah. They won that.
And I believe that was also the Justin Herbert 3-touchdown game. That was the Rose Bowl chrome helmets with the sunset that was just reflecting off their helmets, which almost made the Ducks helmets look like it was like this pink purple, like sunset tone to it.
I thought they looked great.
It was one of the cooler Rose Bowl moments, just like the uniforms and again, how that sunset was reflecting off them. And then Justin Herbert, his performance, that one, the Ducks have had some good times at the Rose Bowl. So hopefully they can continue the streak and continue that success down at Austin South, because Ohio State, again, if you get a performance like that out of Will Howard, it's going to be tough sledding. And they really showed again, how deep they are weapons wise. Yes, they're banged up on that offensive line. And hopefully Oregon can exploit them offensively like they did last time. I know that they were going after that cornerback whose name escapes me on Ohio State. But, man, expect another shootout because Ohio State's looking real good.
Ohio State looks awesome. They looked awesome at the beginning of the year. They looked awesome for most of the year until they lost that game to Michigan. So Ohio State is still a team to be reckoned with. It's still a team to be feared, if we're being completely honest. The last time they played in the Rose Bowl, it didn't go the way we wanted it to for Oregon. I can remember that game, you know, for Ohio State versus Oregon. And I remember that not going as well. And I don't know. I think Oregon's record versus Ohio State is like, what's it now? Like 9-2, something like that? 9-3?
Like all time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at our cold right now. It's 9-2. But those last two?
Those last two, you know, go Oregon's way, you know. And maybe, hopefully, this one goes for Oregon's way because they need it to. And, again, I've never felt – you said you're nervous. I'm not at all.
Again, I think it's just natural Oregon fan to always be nervous.
And maybe it says outside looking in. I don't think I've ever been – and I've said this before. I don't think I've ever been so confident in an Oregon team.
Listen,
like, every time they're playing, when they played Ohio State the first time, I was like, yeah, if they lose, it'd be bad, but I don't think they're going to lose this game. And every game they play since then, I'm like, yeah, I don't think they're going
to
lose this game.
Well, and as far as, you know, what's different from this matchup to the last one, you know, the Ducks, they will have Jordan Birch playing. They did not have him playing in that first matchup against Ohio State. As far as like other injuries, Ohio State lost one of their best linemen during that game against Oregon, and they lost their center, Seth McLaughlin, since then, who was enjoying himself a nice victory cigar on the sideline yesterday towards the end of that game. So, I mean, there are some things that are a little bit different, but again, Ohio State, they put it on Tennessee yesterday, and it did not even look like it was they were met with little resistance entire time.
No, yeah. Tennessee was a good football program this year.
If it was a closer game, a little bit back and forth, I think I'd be feeling a little bit like, all right, let's go, bring on Ohio State. But now after that, I'm just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, Tennessee had a good run this year. I don't want to completely hate on them. They had a good run, but as soon as they lined up, from the opening drive, you saw that Tennessee didn't match up with Ohio State.
I mean, it was
just, the SEC this year just doesn't match up for whatever reason, just across the board outside of Texas. The SEC just doesn't match up. Georgia doesn't seem like the same Georgia team that was completely bullying people when they were winning the national championship a couple years ago.
Well, Rashad, I'm glad that you said that, because there has been bitching and moaning all day yesterday about the playoffs. And some of it has to do with the SEC. Some of it has to do with some of the teams in the playoffs. But we have some audio that I want to get to that was going making the rounds yesterday. And talk about why we can't just have a playoff and enjoy it without
the first one, we're
finding problems with it.
Yeah.
And also, it's funny how the narrative can change all within a day. We will get to that next here on Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with the SportsCenter update. We just can't have nice things, Rashad. Doesn't matter if it's a CBS or a, what is it, BCS, if it's a 4-team playoff, it's a 12-team playoff, it's never going to be good enough.
We're always going to want more. And I'll be honest, for a long time, I hated the BCS because they often got it wrong.
Bring it back.
I mean, it was wrong. And Oregon Oregon got screwed. One of those big times, Oregon got screwed by the BCS and should have been in the national championship. That's why that had to be completely X-nayed. The 4-team playoff, again, still like teams are going to get screwed out of being able to be in that top four. With this playoff, it's the only thing I complain about, like I said last week, is the fact that these next week games are bowl games. And the week after that, those playoff games, semifinal games are also like big bowl games, and they could have done something else with those. That's my only complaint about that. Other than that, I have no problem with the playoff right now.
Well, there are pundits that are upset with the playoff because even when you move it to 12 teams, there's going to be a couple other teams that get left out. And we go to College Game Day, and one Kirk Herbstreit, to let his feelings be known. Jordan, if you want to fire that off, because I can't find the audio on the page. Kirk Herbstreit and his feelings after the results of the Indiana-Notre Dame game that was played on Friday night.
The atmosphere was historic. The atmosphere was historic.
Yeah.
The game was not. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and say why was Indiana in, but Indiana, with what you guys like to talk about, they have 11 wins. They got to be one of the best teams. Indiana was outclassed in that game. They should not physically, it was not a team that should have been on that field when you consider other teams that could have been there. It's no knock on Indiana. They had a great year, but we've got to move forward with the playoff and hope that the committee does a better job of weighing who the best 12 are versus who's the most deserving, because by golly, they got 11 wins. They didn't beat anybody, but they got 11 wins. That's a bunch of BS. We need to find the best teams. And that's last night. It was incredibly evident just standing on that field and watching the game and the way it played out.
He thinks Alabama should have been there, essentially.
Yeah. One, can you just shut the F up, please? Like, here we are with an expanded playoff. I mean, once again, we're still doing the, we're not getting the best team. One, we can't just be happy that we're giving more teams a chance. And two, I do not care what anybody says. Alabama, if they were the team that was left out, they lost to a 6-6 Oklahoma team that had zero offense, and they lost to that team 24-3. Alabama, they also lost to a team that was the Tennessee Volunteers, who we saw last night get absolutely dominated against an Ohio State team in the Big Ten. I don't care what the excuses or the reasoning behind why there should have been an Ole Miss who lost to Kentucky, a South Carolina who lost to that Alabama team who lost to Tennessee. I don't get what the whole, I just don't understand why guys like him and national media and people are clamoring for teams that, again, deserve is the right word. There are teams in the NFL that maybe miss the playoffs. Are we saying like, oh well, they deserve to be in?
Yeah, we should.
It's like no, there are qualifiers. There are things that we use to denote
a 16-team playoff.
If that, like, okay, then what do we go to 32?
Then it's going to be 32 because somebody is going to be 15. It's like, well, like, we should be inside.
Well, this is like March Madness too, where they're talking about it's like, oh, I know it's a 64 tournament team, but maybe we need to make it 68. But now actually, we need to consider making it a 96-team tournament.
No.
Like, there are things that we should weigh, like conference champions, like your regular season record. You lost a quarter of your games, Alabama. I'm sorry. I don't care what conference you play in. At Indiana, they played in one of the toughest conferences, the second hardest, right? I mean, quite honestly, if you're looking at it, possibly the hardest conference, because you had one of your teams, the SEC, Tennessee from the SEC, that was in the playoff, get absolutely dominated by the technically the third best team in the Big Ten, right? You're looking at how the rankings, how the standings fell. Oregon was one in Big Ten. Penn State, technically two, because they went to the Big Ten championship. Ohio State was your third best team in the Big Ten. Tennessee was your third best team in the SEC, and it wasn't even close. So I don't get I know it's SEC just in the ear of ESPN and college football saying that it means more. Our schedule, it's different here. I don't care. I really don't care. Indiana lost one game all year. SMU, they lost one regular season game compared to Alabama's three regular season losses.
Yeah. And let's be honest, like, they say Indiana didn't play anybody.
It's not a matter of deserve. It's just those teams were better this year.
Indiana, well, again, they won 11 games, lost one at the end of the season to a team that a lot of people expect to be in the national title conversation. Whether or not they win, whatever. But people fully expect Ohio State to be in the conversation for the national championship. Indiana was winning games. Not only were they winning, they were blowing teams out.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were an 11-1 TCU, like a TCU a couple years ago when they made the playoff. They escaped multiple times. They had like four or five games where they won by like a field goal,
yeah,
or they won by a touchdown, one possession games. Indiana was crushing teams,
demolishing people, like wiping the floor with them. Like, and the two games that they didn't just happened to be Ohio State, where they lost pretty bad. Then they lost by 10 last night to a Notre Dame team. That's I think Notre Dame's just okay. But we start talking about those teams that will be in the conversation for national championship. I don't think Notre Dame is one of those. For call me crazy, I just don't. That's just kind of how I feel about it. But yeah, people want so bad for the SEC to be king still. And at this point, we know that they're not. Texas came in first year, demolished everybody in the SEC. Who's up? Oregon came, just like Oregon came to the Big Ten, wiped the floor with everybody. Like, they're the class of the SEC now. And that's just kind of what it is. Alabama is going to be a minute before they can reestablish dominance or, you know, figure out which direction they're going in with a new regime up top. But at this point, man, we know Texas is the best in the land as far as the SEC is concerned. Everybody else struggled. You lost three games on the year. You don't get to be in this playoff. Why would you get to be in the playoff after three losses? And matter of fact, in what scenario in college football would you have ever been in the conversation after three losses?
See, and this is
zero. Never.
And that's what drives me nuts about the conversation is that this whole moving to 12 team, it didn't change the whole, well, who are the most deserving teams? It's like, we have 12 teams now. Like, there is no, at that point, we're getting to a point where that conversation doesn't hold weight. Because it's like, oh, well, then everybody deserves a chance, right? We're give everybody a shot.
Giving out participation trophies now, and that's not what this should be right now. You think I didn't want to see UNLV in the playoff? Of course I did. Of course I did. Who got a big win against UCLA in the LA Bowl, whatever that means? But, yeah.
The Art of Sport LA Bowl.
Oh,
get it right.
Excuse me. The bowl that nobody watched, including me. But I think it's we really, really still kind of feel like it's maybe early, you know, 2010, 2012, where the SEC was the be-all, end-all of college football. And Cam Newton's not walking through that door for Auburn right now.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, if that's what we saw with a two-loss SEC team, imagine what a three-loss SEC team would have looked like out there.
Get out of here.
But I do want to say there was one person that was able to kind of throw it back into the SEC's face, and it was on College Game Day.
Pat McAfee?
No, it was not Pat McAfee. It came from Shane Gillis.
Oh, I like Shane Gillis as well.
Shane Gillis was the guest picker for the Indiana-Notre Dame game. And I believe, I don't know if it was when they were making picks or they were just talking, but Shane Gillis with Nick Saban just two seats away was able to say this on College Game Day about the SEC.
You called him a cheater earlier.
I was just joking around. I don't think the SEC paid players ever.
Period.
I'm joking. Is this not a fun show?
No.
Serious show?
Serious football.
Like, Alabama Jones is very serious.
No, I'm not serious.
Get the whip, Indy.
I do believe in integrity.
Yeah, I always
tried to run the program that way so players had a better chance to be successful
Amen.
In life.
I agree.
We make more money in the NFL than any other school, 61 players in the league. That was how we cheated. We developed players.
Shane Gillis earlier in College Game Day 2, they were doing a segment where he said, I love the parody of college football now because everybody can pay players, not just Nick Saban and the Alabama. And here he was up on the stage saying that Saban was visibly pissed about Shane Gillis making that comment.
Oh, no.
And the Alabama Jones comment with Nick Saban wearing the Indiana Jones style hat. Like that would, dude, that was one of the best college
Alabama
game
moments. Jones, yeah, that's awesome.
All time.
That's awesome.
Like, being able to like say that right in Nick Saban's face and just make those remarks, like that was,
and it's one
America thanks you, Shane Gillis.
And it's one of those things, like, it's funny because it's true.
Yes.
You know, and if it weren't true, and it'd be different. Well, but the fact is, like, we know that that was the case for the longest time with Nick Saban, with Florida, with all those, you know, teams from the SEC. Like, we hear those guys tell these stories now about getting recruited and bags of money, you know, with gear inside of it and everything like that. Like, we knew what the TikTok was already. And so I'm so glad that Shane Gillis could make Nick Saban feel kind of stupid for a little bit.
Well, and I love like him saying, I'm just joking. There's always a little truth in jokes, right?
There. Always. Always.
So he can say that all he wants, but always. Everyone knows. It's like, yeah, he may be quote unquote joking, but there is a lot of truth behind those jokes.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a little break from college football because we got to make some picks before the NFL slate starts up here in about 15 minutes. It's time for Who Do You Love next on Football Sunday.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Time for Who Do You Love? Let me get the spreadsheet pulled up to track the results. From week 15 last week. Again, starting to separate myself. I'm trying to make sure that I don't tie you last minute at the Super Bowl with a ludicrous appearance. I want to have enough separation by that point.
Well, let's see what's going on. I'm pretty sure I didn't do too super hot last week.
Your boy got Bengals to cover against the Titans, -6. Bills-Lions covered the 54.5. They hit the over on that. My Panthers did not beat my Cowboys. In fact, they lost by double digits and did not cover the 2.5. So I go 2-1, bringing my season record to 19-13-1. Bengals-Titans did not hit the under. Final score on that one was 37-27, Rashad.
I know.
The big balls pick of the day, though, the Ravens -16.5. That covered against the Giants.
Yes, it did.
And then Seahawks money line. Oh,
yeah.
That did not go well on
Sunday
night.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
My God.
No, it didn't. I turned off the game real fast. After, like, the second quarter, I was like, yeah, I'm done watching.
So that brings you to 13-16-1. Jordan.
Yikes.
Steelers +5.5, which that was a good pick. I like that. They now have back-to-back double-digit losses after what happened yesterday to the Ravens.
Wasn't the sharp money on that pick, too, 5.5?
I wouldn't be surprised. But Steelers got crushed by the Eagles. Steelers get crushed by the Ravens yesterday. The shine is starting to come off of Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers as we're getting close to the playoffs. Dolphins also somehow didn't cover, even with the Texans getting less than 200 yards of total offense last week against the Dolphins. The Texans are one of the weirdest teams in the NFL.
That was a frustrating game.
It was.
I think Dolphins finished with like 220 yards total, and the Texans had less than 200 total yards of offense.
And then they lose one of their, you know, a team that's already shorthanded, losing a big part of their offense. Like, ugh.
Yesterday,
bad season
for
the Texans.
Yes. And then Cardinals-Patriots under 46. That did not hit. I think they actually scored 47.
It was. I had a parlay on that, and I had that included, and that was my my hook.
So 0-3. That brings you to 12-19-2.
Bad season.
Listen, still 3 weeks left, and playoffs still plenty. I just need to fall apart for you guys, essentially. But yeah. I think I have three automatic locks for you. And my first one, it is going to be in the Commanders-Eagles game. Take the over of 46.5. Both very good offenses. Eagles, one of the best offenses in the league. Jane Daniels has been playing extremely well as a rookie. I am taking the Eagles-Commanders over 46.5.
So I can't pick the same one as you now, right? Because that was the first one I was going to pick.
I mean, you can if you want, but if you're trying to gain ground on me, I mean, I wouldn't.
guess I'll change that. I'm going to go Lions, Bears. Lions are going to be visiting the Bears. Lions are favored by 7. I feel like that's probably not enough against this Bears team. So I'm going to say the Lions minus 7. That's my pick. I think I'm going to go ahead and go there.
All right, I'm going to one of the afternoon games to start. Raiders, Jaguars. Yes, I get it. It's not a Trevor Lawrence led team. It's
a vaunted matchup. McCorkle Jones.
Yes, McCorkle. God. But I know that Las Vegas is already talking about firing Antonio Pierce. It's just not gone well. He hasn't really had a quarterback there, though. They're just trying to hold their head above water, and I think Doug Peterson can manage a game better than Antonio Pierce can. It's plus 2, and I say the Jags cover that on the road today.
That's the big balls pick of the day right there.
Really?
I love it, though.
All right.
I mean, just that game, that's one of those stay-away games because both those teams are just trash, and you have no idea what's going to happen in it. Like,
you're not wrong. But I also see, like, 4 other stay-away games on the schedule, too.
One game I'm going towards, I am going to bet against my Cowboys for the 2nd week in a row. They play on Sunday night, Buccaneers at Cowboys. The Bucs are, to me, only a 4-point favorite. I think the Bucs are playing some of the best football in the NFC. Also, Baker Mayfield, best quarterback in the NFC?
I do like Jared Goff. You know what I'm saying? But
I hear you, but the way that Baker's been playing,
he's definitely
third in the league in touchdowns, third in completion percentage. He is, and the way that they lit up the Chargers last week in Los Angeles gives me all the confidence in the world that even though that the Cowboys have been able to pull off some good wins lately, they got the Commanders a couple weeks ago, just dominated the Panthers last week. It was still the Panthers, all right? The Bucs are a different team. I got the Bucs covering the minus 4 against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
That's a good one. Dang, you keep taking mine, bro. So now I feel like I got to go. So I'm just going to go ahead and go with what I know. It's going to be easy money. The Bills are 14-point favorites over the Patriots. Rivalry game in Buffalo. The Patriots just don't know which way is up right now. So the Bills are favored by 14. I'm definitely taking the Bills at 14.
Rocking with the Bills.
Yeah.
All right. Got you down. Bills minus 14.
I want to go Washington-Philly. This one's a tough one. 47 is the total, but I like both offenses in this game. I feel like it's going to be an over. We're kind of getting to the point of the season where if the defenses are on the field too long, it kind of turns into a boat race. So I think over under 47 is going to hit the over in the Philly-Washington game.
I like it, mostly because I took it too.
Hell yeah.
And I actually put some coin on that one, so that's one of my picks and one I'm actually gambling on. The one that I have hovered my index finger over the place bet multiple times this week, it is now up to 9.5. The Giants, I can't believe it, the Giants covering 9.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix making his first start for the Atlanta Falcons. I know the Giants are terrible, but this is still a rookie quarterback making his first start. The Falcons offense with Kirk Cousins has not looked good. I do anticipate it to look a little bit better, but I also think that the Giants having a somewhat good pass rush, they're going to also take on the challenge of playing a rookie quarterback and wanting to show him a welcome to the NFL moment. You have nothing to play for, so why not play for trying to embarrass a rookie in his first NFL start? Maybe not embarrass him, but at least keep it close. 9.5 dogs are what the Giants are right now, and I'm taking the Giants to cover plus 9.5. Gotta help me.
I think Michael Penix is going to have a hell of a game today. He's been waiting for 16 weeks to get some snaps as a starter, so I think it's going to happen today. But today I'm going with, I guess, a bit of an upset. I'm taking the Seahawks over the Vikings today. The Vikings are favored by 2.5. I'm taking I think the Seahawks are going to win this game. Excuse me, straight up. I know they had a
You're going back-to-back Seahawks money line.
Because I think they're better than they played last week. And they won 4 straight games, mind you, and not against teams that aren't as great. I think the Vikings are one of those teams that are still very I guess, underrated. Like, people are just kind of, nobody talks about the Vikings at all. They're 14-2, and everybody just kind of talks about the Ravens and every other team around the league, and the Vikings are just there because I think nobody really believes in them. I think the Seahawks can right the ship today and get this done.
Wow. Another big balls pick.
But, man, balls pick. Dan Campbell and I, man. Biggest balls you'll find.
All right, Jordan, your last one.
I'm going player prop Kyren Williams, Rams v. Jets today. I see the
anytime touchdown
over under, anywhere from 82.5 to 84.5. So give me whichever one you want. I'm going to take the over. He has had over that number, I believe, 7 or 8 times, and 2, maybe 3 of the last performances from him have included those numbers being over. So I think Kyren Williams could have another good day against the Jets today. Over 84.5, 82.5?
I'll give you 82.5.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, dude's been a touchdown machine this year. That's been one where I have missed out a couple of times where I'm like, I should bet for him to just get any time touchdown, and I don't bet it, and then sure enough, he scores. He has like 14, 15 touchdowns this year or something.
I was going back and forth between any time tutty or yards.
All right, Joe. Going with Eagles, Commanders over 46.5. Bucks covering 4 against the Cowboys and the Giants. Again, God help me, covering plus 9.5 against the Falcons. Rashad, you got Lions covering 7 against the Bears. Bills covering 14 against the Patriots and Seahawks straight up. And then Jordan with Jags plus 2.5. Eagles, Commanders over 46.5. And Kyren Williams over 82.5 rushing yards. That is Who Do You Love? The games are about to start. You can switch on to Red Zone, switch on to your game that you prefer, but keep us on the radio dial on the Odyssey app for hour number 2. We got the rest of the playoffs to talk about in college football. We also have a story that made me feel a little bit better about the Cowboys ownership, and I want to talk about Thursday Night Football. We had a Ducks matchup at quarterback, and talk a little Justin Herbert. That's next, hour number 2, coming up right here, Football Sunday.